Hello, and welcome back to Confectionery Conversations, the podcast by Candy Industry. I'm Crystal Lindell, Candy Industry's editor. Today, we're talking with Dale Clark, Senior Director of Category Management at the Hershey Company. Hello, Dale. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Crystal. Good morning, and thanks for having me.
Can you introduce yourself a little bit and talk about what exactly you do at the Hershey Company?
Sure. Yeah. No, Dale Clark, like I said, Senior Director of Category Management, been with Hershey for 24 years. And currently I am responsible for category management across the country, as well as our global customer insight centers and also our seasonal center of excellence.
So yeah, so today I really wanted to talk to you about the Global Customer Insight Center, the GCIC, I think is what you guys call it. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and the history behind it for people who maybe don't know or don't have a full grasp of it?
Yeah, no problem. So we opened the GCIC back in 2006, and it really started out as a separate building that we built to have strategic customer conversations around innovation, as well as, you know, merchandising solutions, planogram solutions, etc. And you know, since then, you know, we've gone through a series of renovations and expansions, and have really expanded the solution sets that we bring to retailers to where we are today, which is another major expansion that we're putting on our Global Customer Insight Center this year.
Yeah, so I did have the opportunity to visit the center a couple years ago. Can you talk a little bit about, like, what the experience is for retailers when they walk in? Because I know I wasn't really expecting it to be quite as exciting, I don't know, for lack of a better word, with all of the setup and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, you know, it certainly, you know, it starts number one with understanding, you know, our retailers' strategies, our strategies, et cetera, you know, which, you know, we set up a basis for, you know, what those things are that we want to accomplish. But, you know, we really, like I said, focus on those retail solutions that we want to bring. And that's, you know, a combination of physical assets as well as digital assets. So there's some of the things like pay point areas, obviously, is a really important area for us as well as retailers, right? You know, especially as things have changed throughout COVID and, you know, the evolution of self-checkouts and, you know, even the frictionless checkouts, et cetera. So, you know, that might be an area that, you know, we may focus a ton on, you know, with certain retailers as we think about, you know, what's the now, next, and future of pay points and, you know, what does that strategy look like from a 1 or 3 year solution standpoint? So, you know, we can bring retailers into those areas and, you know, show them different physical assets as well as, you know, what that may look like digitally in the future and how we may want to think about that area going forward, right? Which is, you know, super exciting. And, you know, we bring in other partners as well. So people like NCR or DSA, who's a racking company, so we're bringing in these other retail or these other partners too that will help us, you know, bring these retail solutions to market with these retailers also.
Right. So, and like, kind of how you alluded to, people can literally walk through like displays that are set up to look like retail stores and kind of get a feel for some of the new technology and that kind of thing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, you know, and that's what we want to, you know, make sure that we show is, you know, hey, you know, what's going on now and, you know, what can that look like? But, you know, what's the next in the future in terms of these evolutions and, you know, how can we set ourselves up to be flexible, you know, going forward, because I think, you know, we know things are changing and evolving so quickly, you know, that we have to stay at the tip of the spear in terms of, you know, what those things could look like and make sure that, you know, all these solutions can be implemented and changed in a cost-effective way, you know, as time changes and as the needs change.
So, I know you kind of have touched on this, but you guys are doing some expansion and redesigning, and I'm doing like a refresh for your annual. You guys usually do that annually, right? So can you talk about that and what specific things have been expanded and redesigned?
Yeah, certainly. So yeah, we usually do a refresh, you know, every year, and I would say that's, you know, minor changes, you know, to some of the solution sets. This year, though, we're putting in a relatively large capital expansion, you know, for a couple of different reasons. You know, obviously technology and you know, things have changed over the course of the years, so we want to make sure that we're better able to meet some of those needs from a technology standpoint. We're also expanding the area to focus on some of the areas we haven't necessarily focused on in the past, such as food service and licensing. We also have areas dedicated to e-fulfillment and supply chain, you know, which, you know, certainly, you know, a few years ago, we really didn't need to think about e-fulfillment as much, especially in the candy space. But obviously, you know, times are changing, and you know, COVID specifically has really accelerated the pace with, you know, e-fulfillment and e-commerce in general. So, you know, certain areas that we want to continue to focus on, but we're super excited about it. You know, all the solutions that we have in place and we're going to launch here in the second half of the year.
Okay, so I didn't actually realize you guys were doing a capital expansion. So you're actually adding on space to the building, is that right?
We are adding space. Yeah, we're adding space to the building. We're redesigning the current space that we have. You know, we had a framing room, as we called it, which is kind of our main conference room. We're kind of moving that, you know, and putting in new technology there. You know, certainly we're doing a lot of things more virtually as well. So we have the opportunity to do meetings in person, which, you know, I don't think will ever go away completely, but we're also building in the functionality to make sure that we can be able to bring this content and solution sets, you know, physical and digital, to our customers via the Hershey Insights Network, as we're calling it, which is, you know, kind of think of it as a broadcast, you know, news center almost, right? We've got cameras set up and, you know, different switchboards, et cetera, so we can bring this content, you know, to our retailers, whether it's physically or digitally, and really, you know, make sure that we keep those connection points.
Oh, that's really awesome. So I mean, it sounds like it may have been inspired by COVID, but obviously it's going to reach a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people can't travel beyond the pandemic, obviously. Was that change kind of inspired by the pandemic, or can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it was. It was, you know, it certainly, I think, was always in the back of our mind. And, you know, obviously, number one, we want to be in person, you know, with our retail customers. But, you know, certainly with the pandemic, we had to pivot. And, you know, so we launched the Hershey Insights Network to be able to do that. And I think the major benefit of being able to do that is, you know, these in-person meetings we used to have, you know, it's usually probably 2 days or 2.5 days that, you know, retailer would have to commit to traveling to Hershey and you know, meeting with us in our facility. And with the Hershey Insights Network, you know, if we have a specific, you know, pillar or initiatives that we want to talk about, you know, with them, you know, it's easier to set up a, you know, 2.5 or 3 hour meeting, you know, with the retail partners and, you know, go through if it was, you know, a seasonal discussion or a center store discussion or whatever it might be, you know, that we want to have with them. And it also helps us to expand the audience, right? So, you know, if you had, you know, 3 or 4 people travel to Hershey from a customer, you know, now you can have 20 people, you know, I mean, cross-functionally from the customer, right? Whether it's merchandising, marketing, you know, digital, operations, you know, all of these folks, you know, which has been actually really helpful in terms of, you know, breaking down those silos even within, you know, the customer and having one conversation versus follow-up conversations afterwards. So it's actually been really beneficial.
Yeah, that's awesome. It sounds like an exciting change. Can you talk, like, can you get an idea of how big the full Insight Center is going to be then when everything is complete?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, I'd have to go back and look at what the exact square footage is of it. You know, we're adding on about 1,200 square feet. So it's not a ton of additional space, but it will give us, you know, more of an atrium up front, you know, where we can, you know, bring customers in and really kind of showcase, you know, more of our food service and licensing products, which, you know, has been a big part of our business and, you know, obviously a little bit outside of what I would consider a traditional business and, you know, traditional retail, but certainly a big part of our business that we want to put more focus on.
And so I know you kind of mentioned a little bit about e-commerce. Can you talk about some of the things specifically that you're highlighting or some of the innovations or ideas that you have for retailers that may have come up after the rapid growth in that sector over the last year for candy?
Certainly, digital, I think there's probably, there's multiple sides to it, from, whether it's the shopper marketing side of, digital to, the category management side of digital, right, in terms of, how you find product online, from a search taxonomy, content standpoint, how do you organize your sites to make sure that you're converting shoppers. And then, the other piece, which is becoming, more of an opportunity, is just this whole e-fulfillment piece of the pie from an e-commerce standpoint, right? Which is, even if it's, buy online and pick up in store or delivery, you got third-party folks like Instacart or, those types of folks, picking product in store, what are the challenges with that? Obviously, there's profitability challenges, for our customers as well. All of those things. So these are all challenges that we're trying to be on the forefront of finding solutions to certainly keep shopper satisfaction high, but also how do we help retailers be more efficient? Also, right, from a customer satisfaction, fill rates, profitability, all of those things, right? So there's so many pieces to this digital omni-channel shopping that really is, I think everyone's trying to figure it out, including the retailers, and we're hoping to continue to learn and evolve and bring some of those solutions that can help these retailers.
Yeah, I feel like grocery kind of took a little bit longer to take off for e-commerce, and everyone was kind of waiting for that to really take off, and then obviously this year has propelled that forward.
Right.
The top thing that I feel like people, when I tell people like what I do for a living, they always ask about how candy sales, like if it's, you usually buy it at the checkout, but you don't really do that when you do e-commerce for groceries. Like even if you do store pickup, you don't necessarily see like that impulse purchase. How are you guys helping retailers navigate? I don't know if you guys would call it impulse purchases, but checkout purchases or things that people would normally buy just because they see it, but they might not see it in their e-commerce experience.
Yeah, no, and certainly that is something that we've thought about, right? Because impulse has been a big part of our category, right? It's not on a lot of people's shopping lists, but it's in a lot of people's shopping carts, which is the beauty of this category. Certainly that'll be a challenge, but it's how do we help shoppers understand the unplanned purchase and make sure, it's more unplanned now than impulse, I guess is the way I would think about it. And, how do we start to bring, those solution sets? How do we start to think about, having it in your pantry, right? So is that impulse a little bit different online in how people are using our products versus, what might be in that kind of a traditional shopping trip, right, where we're trying to convert them at the checkout? So I think there's a lot of different tactics and ways to approach that with a different mindset. And I think you've seen a lot of behaviors change even in the pandemic, which I think has opened our eyes a little bit too on what some of those occasions might be and how we're converting those shoppers to more of those take-home occasions that are out there. So I think there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, so do you think, I kind of think about, a lot of these changes in consumer behavior are going to linger after the pandemic. I mean, what is from Cheer? What do you think about how much of like the shift to grocery pickup or Instacart is going to remain kind of long term?
I mean, it's a great question. And, I think there's going to be a certain amount of stickiness, that's going to happen, with some of these behaviors and changes, right? So I think everyone's seen the acceleration, in, buy online, pick up in store, delivery, et cetera. Do I think it's all going to, stick 100%, post-pandemic? No, but I think we've accelerated the curve and, we'll continue to grow over the years. So I think, putting your head in the sand is the bad approach, in terms of, hey, it's going to revert back to normal, because I don't think that's going to happen, right? So I think you have to look forward and say, okay, what does it look like if it's now 20% of total sales or 25%? What does that look like? And, what are those solutions that we need to have in place to address that? Because I think that's real, and I think we have to plan as it is real. Otherwise, we're all going to be caught surprised, and nobody wants to be surprised.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess the other big thing that everyone in the candy industry has been concerned about all year has been seasonal candy sales. And as far as I can tell, so far they've been okay. Like, people bought Halloween candy, they bought Christmas and winter holiday candy. And I know seasonal sales were something that the center had focused on before. Can you talk a little bit about, how you guys were approaching seasonal sales now in some of your updates or anything along those lines?
Yeah, certainly. Seasonal sales have been a big topic for us, especially, when the pandemic hit, in March and April, and, we're writing Halloween orders, at that time, right, with a lot of our retail partners. And, and there's a lot of different theories and speculations on, what that might look like. And we certainly, saw it as an opportunity that folks would lean in. We knew that, restaurant sales and eating out and all those things were going to be down. People were going to be spending more time at home. And we saw those upticks in take-home candy specifically, rising. We leaned in to those seasons, and, the consumer takeaway has been extremely strong. And, I think it's a combination of, folks wanting to have that sense of normalcy still, and celebrating in a different way and celebrating at home, et cetera. But they don't want to give up their traditions, and they don't want to give up, they've done in the past, right? And they want to make sure they have those memories for their families, et cetera. So that part, I think, has been really strong. And just like I said, just, folks staying home and, not going out and doing certain things has really, driven a lot of demand as well. So we've been really pleased, with our seasonal business and seasonal takeaway, and, just know that, traditions are a really strong thing, and occasions are a really strong thing that folks lean into, and that's a beauty of our category.
Yeah, and so I think the other thing that a lot of people talked about when you guys kind of announced it was the focus on, like, Better For You and relaunching the Sugar Free line and incorporating that into your strategy and that kind of thing. I'm assuming you're going to be offering retailers tips on those types of products and how to market them and that kind of thing.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. And so, with the Better For You and those products, certainly we want to understand, where shoppers want to find them, how shoppers are going to use them, all of those things, right? What's the right place, to planogram and put those in the store. So, we do those insights work so we can give, retailers, an absolute roadmap to, how to best execute those things, right? Because, it's not like it's a gigantic part of the business, but it's certainly a growing part of the business. And, it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be part of, what does that, usage occasion candy set look like, right? What does it look like in take-home? What does it look like in impulse, et cetera? So, as these, new trends, develop, we have to be on top of, exactly how we go and execute those with the retailers and give them the recommendations to go and do that.
And then one other specific category I wanted to talk about was trends was gum and mint sales. I know that they've been a little rocky over the last year because people just, weren't leaving the house as much. I expect a lot of that will come back, obviously, as people kind of get back to going places, basically. But can you talk about some of the things, some of the insights that you guys are offering for retailers for that sector and how to kind of overcome some of the hurdles that it faced?
Yeah, certainly. And I think as mobility increases, and, we're seeing that a little bit now, mobility increasing, we're seeing some of those trends starting to bottom out. But, I think, gum specifically, if you look at the 5-year trend, it has been soft, over that time in general, right? And so I think we have to look at, okay, what are those trends within COVID, but then what have those macro trends been as well, right? And I think, I think there's going to be a little bit of a space reallocation, honestly, in some of those areas as, some of these, trends and things have shifted, right, over time. So, you've seen things like, magazine sales, dropping $1.4 billion over the last 10 years and some of those things, right? So macro space planning and things like that have to be addressed as we're seeing some of these trends, right? So do I think there's going to be a bounce back, in gum and mint to a certain extent? Yes. But I think at the same time, you've seen, some of those trends as well, right? And it's where, what that traditional space was may not be that traditional space going forward.
So I think one of the most interesting things kind of from a reporting standpoint over the last year has been that there isn't really any modern era historical point to look back to and say this is what happened last time. And things have just been moving so quickly and everybody's been learning in real time. How have you guys kept up with like all of those trends and then also communicating what you needed to with retailers throughout like the last year, and how are you gonna keep doing that going forward?
Yeah, no, I think, the biggest things, obviously we had to look at this real time, week to week in terms of, what pack types, what items, et cetera, were spiking. I'd say the biggest challenge was from a supply chain standpoint, let's make sure that, we're communicating internally to, our teams as well as to, the retailers in terms of like, okay, here's, the shifts, right? So you talked about government, obviously that was declining a ton. Take home candy was going through the roof, right? So, just adjusting on the fly and, making sure, supply chain standpoint, we're really on top of it, et cetera. And then, what does that look like from a planning standpoint, going forward throughout the year, which influenced, we talked a little earlier about seasons and, those things, which it influenced, but it also influenced the everyday, take-home pack types as well, right? So just understanding how to plan for those, because if you're running, plus 40% on Hershey Milk six packs as an example, because s'mores was such a huge deal, it really still is, since the pandemic hit, and that's a lot of supply, that you didn't plan on. Like, how do we pivot and adjust and make sure that we're getting the right product in the right stores at the right time based on, the total supply chain, and not all stores were the same either. I mean, so there's a lot of tactical pieces that need to be addressed, through the pandemic.
Yeah. Speaking of s'mores, you guys did some really cool stuff with some of the marketing and kind of using data to help target that. I don't know if you want to talk about that at all, or how you guys were able to make sure that you were following those sales trends by, different areas of the country and things like that.
Yeah, certainly. No, we definitely saw, the trends, pretty much in general across the country of, folks, staying home, right? And, making s'mores in their backyard with backyard fire pits and all of those types of things, right? So through a lot of obviously qualitative work, certainly we're kind of seeing what's happening with the trends. Certainly we're seeing it from a quantitative standpoint, from a POS standpoint, et cetera, the takeaways, but understanding what those consumer, habits were and changes were, helped us pivot from a marketing standpoint as well, right? And kind of changing our messaging a little bit to, hey, it's about family and it's about backyards and it's about, that time you're spending together and creating, moments of goodness, with your loved ones, kind of in your little small bubble. But certainly really effective, and it's just great that we've got products that, fulfill those needs, because it puts a smile on people's faces.
Has there been anything that stands out to you that surprised you over the last year, or that you were not expecting kind of consumers to do, or that they did more than you expected, or anything that really stands out to you?
Boy, I guess that's a really good question. Everything surprised me, honestly. I don't think anyone saw the COVID thing coming. I think the strength of what people were doing at home and just that transition from restaurants to at-home consumption was just really interesting. I would say even on our baking side, just seeing just the massive takeaway and baking and recipes and those types of things, you could tell people had shifted their behavior and what they were doing at home versus what they used to do outside the home. And just that massive shift in spending and, the occasions they were creating with their families was a pretty sizable shift that, I guess I just didn't see that dramatic, and I didn't see it sticking as long as it stuck, because we're kind of still there to a certain extent. We're seeing it kind of reverse a little bit, but certainly restaurants are still struggling, and the take-home consumption is still really strong.
Yeah, I know. I did a lot of baking with Hershey products this last year, so I think I'm part of the trend.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
I also s'mores, like I don't even have a fire pit or anything, but I made them in my kitchen.
You can make them everywhere. That's beautiful.
Yeah. So can you kind of give specifically like when the new center, like, you know, the refresh is launching or how that will work or the timeline for that?
Yep. So right now, our tentative completion date is July 31st. So hopefully we have all the finishing touches, done in and around there. And certainly, supply chain from a building standpoint has been challenged as well, right, in terms of labor and those types of things. So that's obviously our tentative timeline as of today. So, we're hoping, we'll be up and running, in August for customer appointments. Certainly virtually will not be a problem. And we're doing virtual appointments now, like I said, but, hopefully in-person meetings, the second half of the year, certainly into Q4, I hope, as we approach herd immunity and folks are open to traveling and those types of things, we would love to, have a first customer meeting here in the second half of the year and really, launch this thing with a bang. And I'm excited about it. I think it's going to be, state of the art in the industry. And, we pride ourselves on trying to be at the tip of the spear. And I think we're going to be there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to add or that you wanted, anybody listening, retailers to really understand or take away from this conversation?
Yeah, no, I think, just for me, it's like, we are, like I said, we pride ourselves in bringing retailer solutions. It's not just about Hershey. It's even not even just about the category. It's like, what can we do to drive, your business that's, mutually beneficial for all of us and, those win-win solutions. So it's not about, the now. It's, it's about the next and the future. And, how do we continue to plan for that? And, that's what we want to have that conversation, with retailers that, want have that same mentality. And so, we're open for business and, want to bring that to, our retail partners.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Dale Clark. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate it.